Thank you, Michael, Carrie, and thanks for having me this afternoon. My name is Paul Jiang. I turn 40 years old this year, and I'm growing up in South Korea for 27 years. So I've been in here for 12 years, 13 years, so I'm still learning English. this morning, I have two children, Sam and Eden. They go to Korean language school every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. When I dropped them to Korean school this morning, and then my son asked me, what's your plan for today? I say, I'm going to preach at Clayton. And he asked me, oh, are you going to preach in English? I say, yes. And he said, oh, I'm very sorry for them. I say, I'll pray for them. So my son is praying for you, not praying for me, but he's praying for you to understand my English clearly. This is my family, Abigail, Sam, and Eden. Every year since my child became year one, we took them to Mission Field. This is in Indonesia. So every year, we, as a family, we go to Malaysia, Indonesia, Philippines, Lebanon, you know, everywhere to see how God works. And this is our family vacation. And you know, this is a better photo. Okay, I'm going to share about the mission for the spiritual fortress. Mission for the spiritual fortress from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts 2, 42 to 47. Normally when I preach for more than nearly 1 hour. When I preach in Korean, when I preach in English, much, much shorter than Korean. Okay, this is the word of God from verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. I have a very simple question. I hope everyone knows the answer for this question. And what is the church? What is the church? Maybe you can talk each other. I'll give you maybe 1 minute or 30 seconds. Share what is the church. What is the church? Sometimes people believe that church is a place to go, right? Place that we have an event every Sunday, so we attend there. We feel like church is a place, right? But the original word in Greek for church was ekklesia, which means the assembly, the gathering of people. Some reason I can't control. Can you just turn? Yeah. And the original church was a movement gathered around the mission. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God doesn't have a mission for his church. He made the church for his mission, right? Let me say again. God doesn't have a mission for his church, but he made a church for this mission, which means a church that is not a church that is not on mission is not really a church. And believers who are not on mission are not really part of the true church. And J.D. Greer, he's a pastor of the Summit Church in the States. In his book, he said, without the mission, a church is not a church. It is just a group of disobedient Christians hanging out. Then let's see what are the missions for the spiritual fortress through Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. The first mission is the word of God. The word of God. And Acts chapter 42, next slide please, say that they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. Firstly, they devote themselves to apostles' teaching because Christianity is a Bible-based religion. God revealed himself to us in the Bible, right? Because our hearts are not naturally godly. Our sin makes us think against God's word easily. Sin distorts our thinking and our mind. And our culture in this world, culture pushes us to find truth from somewhere, not from the Bible. However, we must devote ourselves to the Bible. And this is the first and most important mission as the church and disciple of Jesus Christ. And do you love to commit yourself to the Bible? Amen? And read the Bible every day at home. And attend the Bible study group during the week. And don't miss the Sunday service. Come to church to devote yourself to the teaching of the Bible. Clayton has a wonderful, excellent pastors who really loves God, loves the Bible, and teach the Bible very well. Please commit yourself to the Bible. This is the most important thing. Second mission as the spiritual fortress is fellowship. In verse 42, continue, it says, and they devote themselves to the fellowship. A group of people who covenant with each other. If you are a member of this church, that means we are family of God. That means we have covenant with each other and have officially organized as a church, as a family, but the focus is not on you. The focus is about other people. Christians must be a part of a church. Am I saying that there are no Christians without churches? Not necessarily. But like people without homes, those who are homeless are not healthy. If you are Christians, you need home. And you need God's family. And church is your home. And your church members are your family. And we are easy to fall into the temptation of sins. But if you have home church, if you have a pastor, elder, deacons, and your church members, church families, they can help you out. A young man from my church is a very good-looking medical doctor. He comes to my house very often, especially when he has sexual temptation. Before he commit the sexual temptation, he called me to my house and asked me a couple of theological questions like, does God still love me when I commit sexual sins, right? If I commit sin, but my salvation cannot be canceled, right? He's trying to make excuse that he is able to commit such a sin. And I say with a smile, of course, God still loves you. God never gonna cancel your salvation. But he will be very sad. You are displeasing God. God doesn't save you to enjoy it in this world, but to save you to be holy as God is holy. Remember your identity. Remember who you are. You are a beloved child of God. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross to save you and make you be holy like God is holy. And spend a couple of hours and have coffee and walk. And we pray together. And then later on he said, okay, thank you. I understand who I am. Pray for me. I want to fight against these sexual temptations. This is a family. This is a church. You can't be a healthy Christian without other Christians. And in verse 5, Acts 2 verse 5 says, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. They have different cultures, but they are together in unity. And this was a foretaste of heaven, right? Whenever I'm overseas, wherever I go, I get to be with believers of another cultures and praising Jesus in their own language, even I don't understand. But I want to be there. I want to praise God together with them because it's given me a foretaste of heaven. I think the same thing in here at Clayton. Believers of various cultures, races, socioeconomic status, or educational backgrounds, we are worshiping together here at Clayton every Sundays. It is a foretaste of heaven. I don't think there is any Korean in here. I pray that more Korean people come and attend Clayton service as well. The third mission as the spiritual fortress is the Lord's Supper. Continually says in verse 42, they devote themselves to the breaking of bread, which means the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was a special time in which Jesus promised to be present in a very special way. He's always present in worship, of course, but he's present in a special way during the Lord's Supper. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, 16, the cup of blessing that we bless is not a participation in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break is not a participation in the body of Christ. We are participating in the presence of Christ itself when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And they devote themselves to that. And they devote themselves to remember what Jesus has done for them. Also remember the mission from Jesus. Paul continually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 says, remember the mission of Jesus Christ, the death of Jesus Christ, whenever we take the bread, whenever we join the Lord's Supper. So when we take the bread, when we join the participating the Lord's Supper, we need to remember God's grace. And also we need to remember that we have mission from God. Fourthly, fourth mission as the spiritual fortress, in verse 42 continually says, they devote themselves to the prayers. Michael Jensen always emphasizes on prayer. I really appreciate that we have a Michael Jensen in our denomination and in this Melbourne, Australia. I really love and respect his passion for prayer. And I believe that every believers learn to pray, and every believers commit themselves to prayer. Because prayer is the depending on God. We say, when you pray, God, I need you. We cannot do anything without your help. So these people in Acts, they prayed all the time. Someone get into trouble, what they did? Pray. When they need, pray. When they are scared, pray. And Jesus gave them the great commission and told them to do not anything about it except pray until he came as the Holy Spirit. Do you know how many days they are praying for? 10 days, right? After 10 days, Peter stood up. Do you know how long he did preach? Maybe 10 minutes. And 3,000 people were saved. Pray for 10 days. Preach for 10 minutes. 3,000 people saved. But you know what? We pray only for 10 minutes. And preach for 10 days. Maybe 3 people get saved. Our zeros are in the wrong place. Right? I planted Embrace Church exactly 2 years ago on 24th of October 2021. God gave me how to plant church, new church in Dandenong area at the time. And then, next slide, please. The photo, yeah. Next one. Yes, thank you. This is our first on-site service in front of Dandenong Presbyterian Church building. Because at the time, according to the COVID restrictions, we are not able to worship inside of the building. So we set the tent, and nearly 10, including my family, they comes. And this is our first service as the church family. But before we start this first service, we were in the lockdown, right? So my family and our core team members, we are all 6 people. We met on Zoom every day, exactly every day, non-stop for 150 days. We pray from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. every day for 150 days before we actually start the service. But our plan was to start earlier, before October. But there was but one day I went to Uli to buy mandarin. Do you love mandarin? And then I got call from police say that the someone who got COVID, he visit the same Uli's within 1 hour when I visit, which means that I had to isolate for 2 weeks. So God delayed the first hour launching service. You know why? Because God wants us to pray more. So we pray for every 2 hours, every day from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. for 150 days. And then God brought his people to church. And then the obedience became small. And next one, please. Yes. And next one. And this is Dandenong Church. And next one. And we had no space for the children's ministry. So we set another tent at the back. But it became small as well. So another slide, this one. Yeah, we made this one and put everything, our instruments and chairs. And then next one, we moved to the Kissbore Secondary College. Every Saturday evening, we set up all the chairs and all the music instruments. And preparing the service, next one. And then God bring more people to come to worship God together. And then we moved to next one, the Salvation Army in Dingley Village. And next one, God bring more people from every area in Melbourne. No one actually live in Dingley Village. Six people traveling from the Sunshine, and more than 30 people traveling from Knox, Doncaster, and Narawaran area. God brought His people to come to worship Him together. Next one, please. And now, by God's grace, we move to the Brighton. Now we have around 140 to 150 people, including children. We come on Sundays, and we worship God together. You know why our church became quickly growing? You know why? Do you want to know? Because am I a good preacher? No. Because am I good looking? That's true. Obviously, that's true, but that's not the reason. It is because we pray. We spend most of our time to pray, to rely on God's hands, depending on God, and God works through our prayer. Church, don't try to do anything without prayer. Spend more time to pray. Actually, we can realize that how much we not spending time on prayer, which means that we are not rely on God. We rely on ourselves. And Martin Luther, he's one of the reformers, says, pray and let God worry. Pray, don't worry about anything, but pray and let God worry. This is the mission as a spiritual fortress. Lastly, generosity. Generosity. From verse 44 to 46, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous heart. Let's look at that phrase, glad and generous heart. They share their belongings, right? But not with grumbling. With glad and generous heart. Glad here in Greek word implies joyful. They gave away their money and they were happy because they had found something better than the money, right? This is exactly opposite of where we are as a culture. Culture in this world says you can be happy with the money. You can enjoy your life with the money. In his book, Don't Waste Your Life, John Piper, one of the pastor in the States, he describes how tragic it is when we live with unhealthy preoccupation with the kingdom of this world. He writes in his book, says, I will tell you what a tragedy is. I will show you how to waste your life. Consider a story from the February 1998 edition of Reader's Digest, which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they are living in Florida and play softball and collect shells every day. And John Piper continually says, at first, when I read it, I thought it might be a joke. A spoof on the American dream. But it wasn't. Tragically, this was a dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great walk of your life before you give an account to your Creator be this. Lord, I play softball and I collect shares. Picture from them Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my beautiful shares. That is a tragedy. And people today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. Over against that, I put my pretest, John Piper says, don't bite. Don't waste your life. Far too often we chase after shares. We forgot who we are, where we are going, and for whose glory we live. Our great pitfall is that we live for this day and this kingdom rather than the kingdom that will not end. The evidence of the gospel has taken root in a glad and generous heart because we don't look for this world, but for the eternal kingdom of God. And these early Christians found more joy in sharing with each other than they did in possessing stuff. Do you have a glad and generous heart? Are you glad and generous in God or in your stuff? Many people can't be generous because they worship the very thing that they are supposed to be giving away. Then what's the result? What is the result? Is the evangelism. Evangelism. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It says the Lord. It is God. It is Jesus who added to their number day by day. And notice that the number that is being added in verse 47, that's not coming from the actually church service on Sunday. The initial 3,000 people came from Peter's sermon, but they are coming from the people's meeting house to house. They were loving and praying and serving and giving in the street where they are. And most of people who come to Christ should not do so in here, but outside of the church building. This is a photo that I have. I've been much younger. In December, on the Christmas Day, December 2014, when I read the Bible, especially John's Gospel, chapter 5, when Jesus went to Jerusalem at a feast of Jews, he didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to place to people gather as a celebrating and partying, but he went to find people who are not able to get into that party. So when I read this Bible, I saw myself and pray, okay, on Christmas, what should I do? So my family, we pray together, and we decide to go out to the street in the city and meet people who are not able to. Actually, they can, but not able to come into the church building. And I thought this is just one day event. But I met a lady, homeless lady, and she asked me, why did you do this? I say, oh, I'm Christian, we are from church. And she say, okay, you only come to me on Easter and Christmas. So I say, okay, I will see you next week. Since then, every week, I went to the street and meet people there. Another slide, please. And then we talk and listen to their life and pray for them. Another one. Next one, please. Yes, this one. Before that, yeah. And then this homeless guy, his name is Lawrence. I met him on the street, and I spent time with him for 2 hours. Listen to his story And then we sang together. And he asked me this question. Normally people don't want to talk with him. Just gave him a dollar coin or sushi or meccas. No one sit together with him and spend more than 2 hours. And he asked me the reason. So I thought this is a great opportunity to share the gospel. And I say I explain with the trying to do my best, and I say, because I did, because Jesus paid for my sins. After listening to my testimony, he say, "Aren't you hungry? Let's go to Hungry Jack's." At the time, I was an overseas student. I had no money, exactly no money in my account. And I was nervous. I had no money to buy him. But he didn't ask me to pay for him, but he just asked me, "What do you want?" And then he paid for me. So I asked him, "Why did you pay for me?" And he said, "Because Jesus paid for my sin, so I will pay for your meal." Since then, next one, we celebrate, three people. We call them three family. Three family's birthday together. We bake the cake and see them together on the street. Next one. And then now we gather at the cross-culture church of Christ in the city. We provide them meals. And every Saturday from 5 p.m., we have a chapel service. Next one. And we listen to their story, and we eating together like as a family. Next one. And professional hairdresser from my congregation, they after work, they come to city, and then they cut, homeless people's hair for free. Next one. And my son, this is a soft serve from McDonald's. Actually, the guy in the middle, his name is Jeff, he's a homeless guy. He, every time when I take my son to the city, he buys some ice cream and some, give him some, lollies and coins as well. Next one. We used to live together with the 4 homeless people in my house for 1 year and 6 months. And this is a guy from Malaysia. His name is Daniel. And my son, he's trying to find the box in his head. And next one. Daniel, he got a, he got a son who's same age with my son, Sam. But he's not able to see his son. But on his son's birthday, he asked me, "Is it okay that I can prepare the birthday dinner for my son? But Sam can sit there and celebrate together." And I asked my son, Sam, "Are you okay? Uncle Dan want to, have a birthday party for his son, but you can be acting like his son." And he say, my son say, "Okay, that means I have a 2 birthday in a year." Great. Next one. This is another lady, Chiboho, from South Africa. He got a bipolar, and she was in the mental hospital. So we visit her, and then we became her guardian. So we took her out from the hospital, and we stayed together for 1 year in the same house. And she got a bipolar. Sometimes she has deep depression, and just stay in her room, didn't try to go out. So every time my wife Abigail talked to her, Why are you depressed? And she say, "I'm cursed." This is what she say. She say, "Why?" "Because I'm black." Because when she was grown up, she was adopted to New Zealand from South Africa. There was some bullying on her. So she thought that people doesn't like her. So my wife told her, "No, you're so beautiful. You're so beloved child of God. Jesus died for you." And she explained how much God loves her. And then she say, "Am I?" So she was not local here. So we actually sent her to RMIT to study. And then after 1 year, she got a job at Origin Company. Now she is no more, and she is enjoying her life, and she is supporting other homeless people, other people as well. When we understand how much God loves us, and when we understand how much our beloved members and Christians are, we can share whatever we need. Because we can find the true joy, not from the money, but from sharing in Christ. Let me conclude the sermon. Early Christians in here, they were devoted. They gave themselves to these things. Because this is a mission as a spiritual fortress. But the important question is, how did they able to devote themselves? Because Jesus had come from earth to rescue and save them. So they devote themselves to his words. Because Jesus had given himself to them, so they gave themselves to each other. Because Jesus had given them a joy in the Holy Spirit that was better than the joy of money, so they could give it away. Because Jesus has given them the Holy Spirit and made them promise about how he would use them, so they pray urgently and expected God's presence and God's power in their daily life. So my brothers and sisters in Christ, don't look at yourself. Don't try to look ourselves. But look to Jesus. And rely on in the Holy Spirit by prayer. And then we are able to devote ourselves to the mission as a spiritual fortress. Let me pray.